On this episode of The Syndicate, I am joined by fellow movie lovers Hector and Ed from the Reshoot Movie Podcast. Join us as we plunge into the underworld with the profound and provocative St. Maud. From the film's nuanced use of aspect ratio, color, and format, the conversation oscillates between its technical brilliance and the film's thematic potency. We'll dissect the chilling narrative of Maud, a nurse whose holy mission spirals into a chilling sequence of events that will make you squirm in your seats and turn your spine to glass. Prepare for a journey through the unsettling, the uncanny, and the undeniable power of cinema as we debate, discuss, and delve into the twisted mind of Maud. So whether you're a film enthusiast or just love a good movie chat, this is a conversation not to be missed. So hold on tight, settle in, and get ready to unlock the mystery of St. Maud on this week's episode of The Syndicate.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Hector, Ed, welcome back to the show.
My friends.
I can't even remember the last time we were all in the same room together, let alone virtually or in person. But Ed, welcome back to The Syndicate. I'm so glad that you're back here with Hector and I to discuss this amazing movie, St. Maud. How are you feeling today, Ed?
I'm feeling good.
Hector, how are you feeling today?
Oh, you same as always. Good. Ready to go.
Good. Okay, so I subjected you to this movie, St. Maud. I think, Ed, you saw this before, right?
No, I was very excited to watch it when it came out, but with some friends, it was hard to get the time together, and then it was March 2020 by the time, and then everything shut down. So
Fuck yeah. I'm glad that you're mentioning that, because like I was in the same boat. Like I saw the trailer when it dropped in 2019. Oh, way back in 2019, simpler times back then. And the trailer dropped, and I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing. A24, I'm going to be there. And then, yeah, like you said, March 2020 happened. This is a pre-panorama film. And, you know, I had other concerns after the movie came out, so I never got to see it until now for this podcast. And Hector, did you hear about this movie?
No, before? Not until you mentioned it.
You never heard of this movie?
So I wasn't the cinephile you see before you until like...
until we started the podcast because
Yeah. So I'd seen like an A24 film like once or twice, but I wasn't really like into film like that until the podcast. Mm-hmm. Then I was trying to see more stuff for more material and potential stuff, and that's kind of when I fell in love with movies. Mm-hmm. And then... by that point, I missed the train on St. Maud.
So, Ed, you radicalized Hector. Is that what you're saying?
A little, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it was more Ruthie because the podcast was her idea.
Okay. After you guys watched The Godfather, and Ruthie is has some opinions about The Godfather.
Oh yeah, she really does.
Yeah.
The opinion is that the women hates. I mean, God, the opinion is that the movie hates women.
Yes.
Which I will neither confirm or deny, but Greta Gerwig said it best. All the film bros like that movie, and they get a guitar out, and they're like, yeah, I will. Yeah, I will.
Wasn't also the Snyder Cut, too, referenced in that movie?
I don't remember. I wouldn't be surprised.
I suppose it's one of those Snyder Cut joke, and
it got cut.
No, I could remember it because I think Snyder was on record saying like he loved the joke, but I don't remember.
Well, I'm glad that Hector, your taste has moved since these film bro-y machismo, what the men are gravitated towards, which is men being men in The Godfather and slapping women around. No, we saw a femcel movie. That's what we saw today altogether. Are you familiar with the term femcel?
I think it's female incel, right?
Yeah.
I feel like this movie, no, the reason I made the face is I'm not sure this movie quite fits the femcel box, and I don't know if I can get into it later. Maybe let's
get into it. Actually, let's set the stage. Let's set the table.
Hold up. I have never heard FemCell before.
You never heard of FemCell? You know,
I'm reeling right now.
You're reeling?
Yeah.
Well, let me blow your mind. Girls can be incels just as much as dudes.
I'm going to agree with Hector, and I don't think she's a FemCell, though.
Okay. Well, before we get into that topic, out of the many topics with St. Maud, I want to get into this. And before we do, I want to set the table. Ed, Hector, you could do a combo, but like, let's set the table. Let's set the stage for St. Maud. Could you summarize the film, Hector, in your point of view of what St. Maud is and what it's all about?
Sure. So it's about a lady named Katie, right? Originally was her name?
Yes.
Who is a recent convert after she accidentally killed a patient through CPR because she crushed the dude's ribs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, like the sternum.
Yeah, the sternum. Thank you.
Which is
and common. More common than you think, supposedly. She left the hospital, started being a private nurse, and she's working with this lady, Catherine was her name? Kat? I can't remember her name. Amanda. Right?
Amanda is the woman that she's taking care of.
Yes. So she starts being a private care for someone named Amanda, a lady who was a dancer who is in her 40s and she's got like stage 4, what was it, lymphoma?
Correct.
Lymphoma. She has cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. You're being too specific.
Yeah, it's in her spine. So she's barely walking. She can't go out much. She starts trying to save Amanda's soul, and she tries to control her life. And when that doesn't work, the movie just spirals from there.
Yeah, she does. Ed, is that an accurate description of St. Maud?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, what I love about this movie, first and foremost, is that it's an hour, 20 minutes in and out. That's how I like my horror movies. That's how I like films in general, especially an A24 movie.
I'm going to hard disagree, but okay.
It is a slow burn, and yet when it burns, oh my God, it burns. Figuratively and literally. Just like a good A24 movie, we have some people on fire, and let's get into it. So St. Maud features Maud, who is a born-again Catholic. She got born again in her adult life in her 20s. She's a nurse. She's taking care of Amanda, who has cancer. And with her newfound faith, she's like, I'm going to save my patients. And then, like you said, Hector, spirals out of control. And I want to talk about that spiral, that descent into like madness and obsession. Like, as Maud's backstory is like unpacked throughout this 80-minute film, like, what do you think draws her to like her extreme faith?
Trauma. I think it's just the trauma of accidentally killing that patient. Mm. I think that's one of the major points, right. I think.
Hector.
Probably. I'm with Ed there. I think there's a little more to it where she wants to make sure she really wants to protect them, and in her way, and because of the new, you know, how with a lot of newer converts to religion, they go all gung ho on it. And I think zealous. With her, she doesn't just want to see him physically, but also at the very most spiritually.
Right. Like Maud, we don't know much about her backstory, but we know enough. We know through people that she interacts with throughout this film that she, what's the best way to describe her? Like, she was like a sinful person. I guess maybe she was normal. And then that trauma of accidentally killing a patient while performing CPR kind of like tipped her off the edge. And then she found God. But I think I'm going to get into it. I think it's a little bit more than that. I think there's some underlying mental health issues
Oh, really?
Yeah, Maude.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, really?
Probably.
No, you don't say. No.
Really? I took this movie as literal as possible. Don't fucking tell me I'm wrong. God damn it.
Yeah, what I love about this movie, because like you were like live texting as you were watching it, Hector. Yeah. You're like, I hope that's spaghetti sauce. And I'm like, oh boy. Oh,
it wasn't even
guy.
Spaghetti sauce. It was tomato soup.
Yeah, it was tomato soup, yeah.
But anyways, like, yeah, because like what I love about this film is like Maude's, this is all through like Maude's eyes, and she is an unreliable narrator. Like it's all through her perspective, and of course it's going to be distorted because she has, I'm going to assume, schizophrenia. And what's interesting about schizophrenia, as you probably know, Hector, since you're a psychology major, is that those types of people are drawn, for some reason, towards faith. Like, it's either they're fighting off demons, or they're doing the Lord's work, literally, or they see God, literally. And Maude's case, it's all of that. Like, she is like that character from Da Vinci Code, Silas, where he's like self-flagellating himself for penitence. She was doing that throughout the entire film, and it like ramps up as the film goes on.
I actually knew someone. I used to work in a group home for people with mental illness. There was one dude who actually says he saw God and was like super religious in the home.
I've met a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people, but I've met people like that, and it's like, so you're saying you're an apostle? You're like one of the 12 apostles with Jesus? Is that what you're saying right now? 12 apostles plus you. So God.
The way I see it, it's, from what I understood from what he told me, I'm trying to be very vague because HIPAA. It was basically like something that helped him in the, like before he got, before the mental illness took over.
Bob. Hmm? What did Bob do?
Yeah, so Bob had that, but before he had that, he was a pretty religious man. Mm. And then once everything started spiraling, he sought the faith, which is good. But then he got, I think the day it ramped up was he was actually, so a lot of people with mental illness tend to be victims more often than not. Because, you know, they're acting a little differently and people don't know how to get freaked out, and violence is their first response. So they're victims of violence frequently. And that was when he saw Jesus and heard God calling him.
Saying he had a near-death experience?
Yes, along with the mental illness. And
maybe he did see Jesus.
Huh?
Maybe he did see Jesus.
I mean, maybe. But yeah, just... to your point, the long rambly way of getting to your point is, yeah, it really is. It very much is a support system to them. And it can, sometimes it mixes in with the mental illness and it doesn't always have the best results. Not like that crazy, right. Like in the movie, but generally, yeah, it's right. Just sad.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm going to make an analogy to drugs. So, like, when you do cocaine, you run away from cops. You snort, you see cops, oh, my God, I'm going to run away. When you do meth, you run towards cops. You look for uniforms, and you're like, I'm going to get into a fight with you, buddy. I don't want to fight you. I wouldn't want to fight me either.
And when you smoke weed, you just stay where you are.
You just melt into the couch. You start to question whether the things in this movie are real or not. Wait a minute. What's going on?
Yeah. So.
Dude, I feel like seeing this movie on like a shit ton of weed would not be a fun trip.
You'd be like, whoa.
No, the one.
Am I Maude?
The one I want to see high is Beau is Afraid.
Did you mention Beau is Afraid?
Oh, no. God damn it, Ed.
Listen, I wish I was on drugs. You see, Joaquin Phoenix was like, don't go in there under shrooms. Boy, I wish I was on shrooms. I went to that stone sober because I was afraid. I was like, I don't want to get tripped out. And then I watched it, and I was like, what is this? What the hell is this movie?
Someone asked him, he had an AMA. Someone said that he had taken some edibles in the hour leading up to him watching the movie. Asked Ari how bad of a time he is going to have. And Ari said, if I did my job right, exceptionally.
But back to St. Maud.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Maud, as you said, Hector, had something that traumatic event cracked her brain, and whatever underlying mental health issues she did have, fucking went full force. And then it got worse and worse, the deeper and deeper she got into her faith, where she is now trying to influence, quote, Amanda's soul, because, you know, Maud's a nurse, a hospice nurse. This woman's dying. So then she was like, oh, let me save your soul, make sure you go to heaven, you know, accept Jesus, all that. And I want to get into, like, God, like, when does her, like, worry about salvation get blurred with her coercion?
So you're asking when it went too far, basically? When did she go from, like...
Yeah, like... Because, like, as I'm watching her character, like, throughout this whole film, she had good intentions in the beginning. She was like, oh, let me share my faith with you. I'm your nurse. I'm taking care of you. Even Amanda, the patient, she, like, loves Maud. Like, oh, like, you saved my soul. She wrote that little card. You saved me. You are my salvation. So then Maud, in her broken brain, is like, oh, I need to do what I can to save her. So then it becomes like almost like she's trying to coerce her into accepting faith. But what were you going to say, Hector?
Well, Ed had a response. I want him to go first.
The moment it went too far was when she told, I forget her name,
Carol to leave
and not come back and stop seeing Amanda. That's, I think, the tipping point.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I have a different answer.
Same.
So I'm sure it's different in England. I don't know the laws there. But I'm going to grad school to be a therapist, and we have talked about stuff like this with ethics class, with my ethics class. And it's not good. You are not supposed to impose your faith onto other people when they're going through in your services, because they're going through it, right? Like, they already got enough on their head. You don't want to potentially influence them in ways they wouldn't actually want to be influenced, because they're so desperate and they're so hurt. And I've heard stories of hospice nurses trying to preach, and it's like the same deal. It's like, no, we're not supposed to, because at that point you're imposing, in a sense. Like, you have more power than them.
Right.
It's uneven. That's not the way to do it. So my answer is, as soon as she started to preach was when it was already like the point of no return. She went too far. And then like Amanda took it well. She gave her the book. She was sweet about it. But then she didn't read between the lines and kept it going.
So you're saying it was kind of a man. Are you victim blaming?
Victim blaming who, Amanda?
Yeah.
No, I know Amanda was being sweet and was giving her the book. Just being like, okay, that was a nice moment. Thank you. Like, she did not have to do that. As soon as I saw, I'm like, oh, Amanda, you're too good to mod right now. Like, you're completely in your right to fire her for talking to you about the faith, her faith. I mean, and this is coming from someone who's somewhat Christian.
In her defense, I don't think she would have ever expected her to react the way she did. Maud speaking, just like spiral out of control and try to like, well, become obsessed with Amanda and Amanda's salvation.
Yeah. Again, I'm not blaming Amanda at all. Maud's the one who like went way too far. Like, she shouldn't have started it in the first place.
Right. Yeah. So I want to get into the really meaty stuff because, like, I'm watching this and, I mean, there's elements of, like, you know, as she's descending into her obsession, it's more than just obsession. It's like breaking reality. And I, as the viewer, like I said earlier, I don't know what's real or not because, like, she's unreliable in her recounting of what is going on. It's because it's all through her perspective, and she has an undiagnosed mental illness that she is treating with faith, which is fine. But when you're starting to see demons and talking to God and you see yourself having angel wings, that's not good. So I want to get into that element where it's like, breaking reality. Let's talk about like the visual cues every time these instances happen. I don't know if you noticed, maybe you did notice, but Ed, Hector, did you notice that every time something weird happens in the movie, bugs are around? It's bugs. What do you think of that? I have my opinions, but did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed the bugs appearing almost every time there was something strange going on, something Maud sees or hears or whatever, or like the pulsating stuff. But I have not had enough time to think about and form an opinion on that yet, so.
I noticed the bugs. I couldn't quite nail down the symbolism. I don't know if it's like it's not true, like, either if it's a warning for us to see, like, oh, this is when it's not true, or if it's a sign of, like, it's just, like, the mental illness is encroaching on her mind, kind of being seen as bugs. I'm not sure.
Here's my theory. And let me learn you something with bugs. You probably heard of this. But it might be rooted from the Bible. But when there are flies around, especially, or some sort of like insects, infestation, it's synonymous with like demons and demonic forces and the dark side of the force, especially with flies. And with this film, it's very ambiguous because like, I don't know what's objective reality, what other people are experiencing, not just Maud. What's Maud's mental illness? What's divine? What's demonic? It's all messy. And it's up to us ultimately to form those conclusions and opinions. But like, I think it's a stylistic choice where maybe Maud it's more than just her slipping a grip on reality. Maybe it's she thinks she's talking to God, but maybe she's talking to a devil. And keep in mind, this is A24. People that made Hereditary. People that made The Witch.
Yeah, I will say, when she was talking to whatever was talking to her in her apartment, it reminded me a lot of The Witch in that
right.
very specific yeah. scene.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
I like to do a little research on some of these movies after I'm done, like just see what the direct if the director said anything. Did you read the director's?
That's interview? No fun.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you the answer, but
that's like
I,
going
I
up to the author and be like, "Hey, so what's the point of this story?" They're going to be like, "Well, it's up to you to draw your."
No, I mean, she did that. I thought it was interesting because when she was talking to her room, someone asked her, "How did they get the who was the voice?" Right.
Right.
And the voice was actually Maud's actress. They just pitched it down.
That's incredible.
And I'm wondering if that was, it wasn't just a budget thing, but if that was also like a good story thing of just kind of showing it all. My personal theory, even before the movie ended, was that this was all in her head. Like she was suffering from mental illness. I didn't believe for a second that it was an actual divine.
Or demonic.
Or demonic. Thank you, Ed. Entity.
Yeah, that's what I got from it too. It was to me, it was all in her head. She definitely had some sort of mental illness. Maybe with, and she also seemed to have like weird episodes, which mm-hmm. to me pointed to maybe some kind of epilepsy.
Yeah, she did have the epileptic moment in her bedroom after the.
She had it a couple times.
I remember the one with her foaming in her mouth. That's the only one I can remember.
She also...
Peter Pan's.
Huh?
She pissed herself.
Oh, that's very common with people with epilepsy. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She also like collapsed on the floor when she walked up the stairs when she was still taking care of Amanda. She was like going up the stairs very slowly because she's like... having weird feelings with the pulsating light and all that. And then she collapsed on the floor and stuff.
Are you not talking about the as the director writer called it, the godgasms?
Yeah, that's I didn't want to say anything, but that's what it seemed like.
Yeah, no, that's the word she used. Also, I like how they subtly use CGI to like whenever she like opens her mouth wide, it's unnaturally wide. I thought that was so good.
That was CGI.
I think it was CGI. It's no face, way it starts that wide.
Yeah. I was like, damn, her that's face a, she has a big mouth
several times. Yeah. Her face contorted very, very weirdly a couple times when she was having her, I guess,
godgasms.
Godgasms was the term. I'm sticking with it.
I mean, I like that terminology because, like, as you probably know, Hector, like when people have religious experiences, their brains light up as if they're doing like drugs. It's like fireworks in the brain when that happens. So it makes sense. She's having a godgasm.
Funny you mentioned fireworks.
Hey, it's right, all related because she had the seizure when looking at the fireworks or coincidentally when the fireworks were going on.
Yep.
Isn't that a form of epilepsy? I remember reading something once where like some people see lights during certain seizures.
Yes, but it's more if you have light sensitivity epilepsy.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which my mother does not have because my mom has epilepsy and she has epileptic seizures, but they're not triggered by anything specific, and she doesn't have light sensitivity and stuff like that. So,
photosensitive.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, this is just me speaking, but like, I totally know. I'm tracking with like, this was all in her head. Truly. I'm totally tracking with that. I just want to believe that she was speaking to like a demon. Because how awesome would that be? Because like, it would be like The Witch, where yeah. she thinks she's communing with like a higher power. It's like, oh, I'm being called to something greater. And they think it's God, but it's actually not. Or, Black Phillip or Hereditary with King Paimon. Like,
yes.
They think they're worshiping this God, but it's truly, it's just a demon that's coercing them. So like Maud is trying to coerce Amanda into believing in her faith in God, Roman Catholic. But at the same time, Maud is being coerced by a demon to do the demon's bidding on Earth. So it's a vicious circle of coercion going on.
I want to believe also. I want to believe. But I can't. It's all in her head, and she just, with the mental illness that she has, which is, I assume, would be whatever one allows you to hear voices in your head.
Schizophrenia.
Yeah.
I totally think she has schizophrenia. 100%.
Yeah, high functioning, but, you know.
And it manifests when you're older, too. Because she's in her, like, mid-20s.
18 to 25 is the, I think, age range where it happens the most. And I think she fits the bill.
And doesn't trauma also...
Yes.
...can trigger those kinds of
things?
That's why
drugs are the main cause. You have a bad trip or something, causes some trauma. You get mental illness. I mean, it's also just the drugs fucking up your brain chemistry anyway, but...
That's why you don't do drugs until you're old.
Huh? Yeah.
That's why you don't do drugs until you're old. Hector's like, fuck, man. Too late. Like,
yeah, Hector.
You hear that? Am I the only one hearing that?
What, Ed?
You had a bad trip.
Oh, you were going to talk about this on the podcast. Yeah, I did have a bad trip.
We're not. We're
just talking about your bad trip. Yeah. I'll talk about my bad trip.
Okay, fine. So here's my bad trip. A while ago, we went to a dispensary. It's legal. Where we live. And I had a little experience with gummies, not much. I tried to explain that to the dude who was running the dispensary, white guy with dreads, mistake one. And he was like, I was like, yeah, a little. And he's like, okay, here, take these gummies. And they were like 20 milligrams.
Okay.
Each.
How many did you eat?
I ate one that night. Okay.
So you had, again, very little experience. This was your first time having a edible.
I mean, I had little tiny ones, but they're like the ones that put you to sleep. So I didn't know there was a difference between. Yeah.
Sativa and indica.
So here's what happened. I had all the mental symptoms of it. I thought.
He gave you literally 20 milligrams of only THC.
No, it wasn't only. It wasn't only.
Yeah, but like.
Hector, are you saying you're a little bitch?
No, he's not. Because 20 milligrams is a lot. And even for me, who I have a little bit more experience, 5 milligrams is like, it's getting to a point where it's too much for me. So 20 milligrams, when you have basically zero experience, you leave this universe, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, have you seen... You've seen episode 8 of... You've seen The Last Jedi. You know that scene where Rey is in the dark side cave and she snaps and then the behind her snaps and the behind her? That was me for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I thought I understood time.
Yeah.
Like, I was... Everything was... My brain was hurting. It was... And I was going... Like, I was doing like weird motions and I just kind of get lost into it. Like... It was not fun. I think that was the closest I ever felt to understanding some of the people I used to work with. Like, truly understanding. Like, you know it's not real, but it's so there that it just, you can't, it's very difficult to fight it.
The thing is, I have had I'm pretty sure somewhere close to 20 milligrams. Never that much, but somewhere close. And it is an experience, especially if you, like, because you know what's happening and you understand that you're just tripping balls, but it's really hard to keep your mind on track and try to not think of anything, like, weird or scary or stuff, because your mind's freaking out.
Don't freak out.
THC.
Just smile to everybody.
I mean,
oh, they're calling the cops.
It could be that way, but
I was a 24-hour high. I never touched the stuff since. It was terrifying. I had even afterwards, the worst of it was there. I had the paranoia all day, the time. I couldn't tell time.
Here's the thing, Hector. You smoked weed, right?
No, never.
Okay. Well, when you ingest THC, when you ingest cannabis, it's a different experience than smoking it because it's processed by your liver.
Mm-hmm.
It creates dimethyltryptamine, which can be up to 5 times more psychoactive than regular smoking marijuana. So you got a heavy dose, my friend.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've never done anything like that since. You're a silly man.
Because
the highest I've ever been was smoking, honestly.
Years ago. Never touched it since.
Yeah, years ago.
Years ago.
Edibles is much more convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, Hector.
Yeah, but I feel...
good stuff.
Kind of...
There's a thing called Stars of Death. They are 200 milligrams each gummies. I'm going to give you 5. Good luck, buddy.
Did you hear about the dude who... There was a thing on YouTube of a dude who ate... he thought it was a normal nerd's rope, but it was actually like the THC stuff. And you're only supposed to have like the tiny bit of it. He ate the whole goddamn thing. It took him like 3 days to come down.
Yeah.
I can send you the link afterwards, but Jesus Christ.
Going off of that thing that I said where, like, you understand what's happening, but you can't really, like, get your mind off of that stuff. I feel like Maude kind of went through that kind of thing in the movie when she was, like, fired from caring for Amanda, and she had her little stint of, like, maybe going back to her old ways or maybe exaggerating her normal life before she converted.
Maybe, because like during that moment, I think it was like around the middle of the film when she loses her job, she runs into an old friend who's also a nurse, and this old friend knew her not as Maude, but as Katie. She knew her old life and she seemed like a party girl or something. She would go out all the time. And Maude tried doing that. She tried doing that again to cope with the it's like a combination of like being rejected and
losing
her job. So then is it relapsing or backsliding? I don't know. But like she goes back to what she knew would make her feel good. So she goes to the bar, drinks, tries flirting with dudes in a really weird way, awkward way. But she hooks up with one of the dudes.
Yeah, that part broke my heart a little.
She
got raped.
Yeah, 100% rape.
It was 100%. That part broke my heart.
But the important bit is when she was, she's having sex with the dude, then she freaks out because she has a, this is when we, the audience, it's revealed that, you know, she was fucking, she like cracked someone's sternum, broke them.
Performing CPR.
So then she had a visualization of that while she's having sex and she freaks out. And then the dude afterwards was like, hey, wait a minute. I remember you. You used to go out all the time. My buddy hooked up with you. Which implies she was a party girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie said it too. It's like, you used to be out on the town all the time.
Mm-hmm. Then she found Jesus.
Yes. She found Jesus and stopped all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I really think, because like, God, that this film was so uncomfortable to watch. It was so uncomfortable. I didn't expect it to be uncomfortable. Like, I saw the trailer back in the day where she puts the nails in her, the soles of her shoe, and she's like walking around, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta watch this. But like, I didn't expect the film to be so like situationally uncomfortable, especially that the everything with the bar scene afterwards. I'm like, what the fuck is she doing?
Trying to cope.
In insane ways.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all.
Well, she finds her... She kind of like falls away from her faith and finds it again because of that
experience.
Also because of the seizure, but you know. She tries to cope with it in a very insane, very like...
carnal ways.
Yeah. Way too much.
Sex.
Because she gets like slammed also with alcohol.
Yeah, she was drinking a lot of alcohol. I'm not saying that's an excuse for her. It's just, it's not a healthy way to cope.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, I can drink decent, but I don't even get near how much the movie implied she was drinking. I can't. Like, that's extreme levels of like, I need to mellow out the pain.
Yeah, because she tripped on her way back to her place.
She did, yeah.
Tripped over herself.
Yeah.
Remember when she tried, when she was at the bar, and there was like a group of friends drinking, having a good time?
Oh my God, don't remind me. I like had to like look away.
And then she's by herself. And then she like turns to him, she's like, trying to like join in, and I'm like, oh fuck. What are you doing?
Oh, I've seen so much Nathan For You. I am immune to certain levels of cringe now. That was so. It was still pretty bad. I was like, I've done similar.
But even before that, when she like looks at the dude from across the bar and smiles, and the dude is like, hi. And then he gets the dude was
into it. The dude was into it,
kind of. But he was also like, what the fuck is going on? All right, let me. And then she like jerks him off.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. Well, actually, she walks away.
Yeah.
She was like, boom. All right. Done. Bye. And then he's like, what? Huh? And then I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, I think she was disappointed because she told him to hold on to.
He said, not yet. She said, not yet.
She said, not yet.
She did?
She was trying to get him ready to take him home. And then.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I missed that line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Subtitles helped.
Yeah, I watched the movie with subtitles. Ruthie was working, and I was home early yesterday from work, so I just watched it with subtitles.
Ah, I gotcha. So then she was looking to fuck. That's what she was doing.
Yeah.
And then the first guy was like, fuck, I'm sorry. Makes sense. So then she has sex with that fucking fat piece of shit. Thanks, Ed. Thank you. Anyways.
That whole scene made me sad. It's not, I don't know.
It was just gross. I'm just like, oh. He looked pretty gross. We all know those guys. We've all met those guys. We've all been friends with those guys.
Yeah.
Hey, what you... the zip tuts.
Oh, also funny that you do a Jersey accent when they're in Coney Island.
Well, it was like a fake Coney Island, wasn't it?
Man,
this was in England.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. It was in England. The whole movie's in England.
But Ed, you didn't know this was in England?
I mean, there were only two people with English or three people with English accents.
Everyone has an English accent except for...
Did you not notice the houses are English?
He's never been to London, dude. Oh, he's never been to England, dude. You and I have.
Did you not watch the BBC? Have you seen those houses over here? No, dude, our row houses don't look like that.
To be fair, the Coney Island did throw me out for a loop. I'm like, is there a Coney Island in New York, or is this just a really weird part of Coney? Because I've never been to Coney Island.
Coney Island is in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because I've never been to much of New York. So I was like, for a second, even I was thrown off. I get it, Ed.
This takes place I guess in southern England, not the Jersey Shore. Oh my, is that the situation? Is that Pauly D? Oh my God.
What do we call in England? Not the situation, the dilemma? I don't know.
Oi, bruv, it's the dilemma over there. Fuck, man. He pulled out his Mickey.
In it?
He's wanking all over the place.
Oh, God.
Bloody hell. Got jizz all over me. Fuck, man. Okay, anyways.
That was more Jamaican than anything. You slipped in Jamaican by accident by the end there.
It's all from the same, all colonies of the same place. Anyways.
Yeah.
Speaking of the shore, let's talk about that ending. I want to get straight to the ending, then we can get off the fence about this film. So by the end of the film, you know, Maud is going deeper and deeper and deeper down into her insanity. Ed thinks it's her mental illness. I think she's under the influence of Baphomet or some sort of demon. Hector, he doesn't know. But by the end of the film, like, she hallucinates and thinks she has angel wings after murdering Amanda by mixing
the devil.
Yeah, she makes holy water with acetone. Oh, she didn't kill her with the acetone. She stabbed her to death.
With scissors.
Yeah, yeah, it turns into a Sam Raimi film all of a sudden. I'm like, fuck, am I watching Evil Dead right now? Like, she starts, like, levitating out of the bed, like, I was taunting you all along. And then she stabs her to death. I was like, what the fuck? This is awesome. So then she goes to the beach dressed like Mother Teresa, like a nun. And she has a big old gallon of acetone, and she dumps it on her.
And lights herself on fire.
Then lights herself on fire, self-immolates.
When she lights herself on fire, she sees, you see the angel wings on her back again.
And everyone's bowing down.
Everyone next to her just kind of like falls to their knees in awe.
Yeah, and praise.
Of like what they're seeing.
Glory be to God.
And then for a split second, we see her what she's actually feeling, and she's on fire. Her skin's peeling off.
Yeah,
screaming.
And then it just cuts to the title, and that's the end.
That's the end of the movie. Aren't you glad I made you watch this?
I'm glad.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm glad I finally watched it.
Because I'll be honest, I was worried it was going to be another the Vivek situation. Because I could not stand that movie. I'm sorry.
The fuck did you just say?
It's too slow. It's way too slow for my liking. Like, I guess I like slow burns, but this one was just like, okay, we get it. How much? Yeah, Armand's getting. Yeah, I'm off the podcast forever, guys. It was nice being here. I appreciate it.
I never.
You dare speak ill of Robert Eggers?
What?
You dare speak ill of Robert Eggers? Is that what
every other movie he's made? I've seen them all. There's three, but I've seen them all, and they're all amazing. I just didn't like the Vivek.
You dare speak ill of Anya Taylor-Joy? Is that what you're doing right now?
Not saying the actors. I mean, you got freaking Cid from Final Fantasy 16 as her father. I don't know his actor's name. I recognize him as Cid from Final Fantasy 16. The voice is iconic, but I can't recognize the actor's name. But yeah, no,
British man.
The acting's great.
The Lord forgives you, Hector. Just remember that.
Armand, are you suffering from delusion? I can feel that backhanded "you forgive me."
The Lord forgives all everything. Sins. Oh my God. So I want to talk about that end. She lights herself on fire. She believes, you know, she is an angel for the Lord. Okay. Do you think, perhaps, maybe, let's talk about the possible message behind that final act of Maud. Do you think it conveys the danger of extreme religious devotion unchecked.
I think it does, 100%.
Yeah. I also think it's more just like kind of getting caught up in... See, I feel bad wondering if it's like if it's also getting caught up in something, because there's also signs of mental illness, and I don't... No, I'm conflicted.
It's a combination of both.
It's a combination of both, but like... Yeah.
And again, my point is I'm not faulting the mental illness or her for becoming a born-again Catholic or whatever. It's just that's it for her. It is, that is her new personality. She changes her name. It's only about being a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that when you get to that kind of obsessive...
But then it begs the question how much that's also just like the mental illness and the trauma speaking. She's clinging to something to not fall into despair.
Yes, that is true.
And what did Jesus do?
That's why I'm being careful, trying, because I'm not, again, not trying to falter or like blame.
I'm not either.
Trauma, but yeah,
so it's a horror movie we just watched.
She was more susceptible to take it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Of pre-existing conditions.
What were you saying, Armand?
I was going to say, because like Ed brought up a point that just dawned on me right now. What did Jesus do to his disciples? Well, some of them. He changed their name. Simon became Peter. And then on the road to Damascus, Saul became Paul.
Mm-hmm.
To symbolize their change, they're born again. They get new names. They're new creatures. They're new people. And Maud, she was Katie. And then after her encounter with the Lord, she became born again. She became Maud. So... Oh my God, that just dawned on me. So like that in of itself, the title of this film is also an indication of her religious fanaticism. It's because like she changed her damn name. Who does that? I don't know anyone that does that, that becomes born again, that becomes super religious all of a sudden. Like, don't call me Jim. I'm Hank now. The Lord changed my name.
I think I met someone once who changed their
shut
name.
The fuck
I can't remember.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I think once when I was a kid, but I can't remember. Probably not.
I'm not Jimmy anymore, like, guys. I'm James.
Nobody changes their name once they become a born again.
Yeah, that's insane.
Or find faith once they're older. It is. Yeah.
Are you?
That's a good point. I didn't even realize when I said it.
I mean, God. Okay. So obviously if she had a good therapist and some good medication, this movie wouldn't have happened.
It is so hard for people with certain illnesses to believe they have it.
Well, she had no friends either. She had no friends. She had no support system.
That happens with a lot of people.
She did have friends. She left them all behind.
For God.
Mm-hmm. When she converted.
Because everyone will let me down. God will never let me down. He's been with me all day. He's got two footprints in the sands. He's been, then became one because he's been carrying me the whole time.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with how she converted and with how it all went down for her, I think it would have been hard for her to even seek help.
Well, she didn't. She didn't think she had a problem.
I just think, yeah, she didn't, and that's why I think like with therapy and stuff. Since this didn't start becoming a problem until after, I guess if she got therapy after accidentally killing,
she
that dude,
also had yeah. a problem with organized religion. Because even if she had a support structure within a church, I don't think she would have went down this path.
No, people would have pulled her out.
That's right.
Because in the beginning of the film, she's like, oh, organized religion is stupid. It hinders, you know, spiritualism and all that crap. And I was like, okay, yeah. She's based. Oh, she's crazy. She's black-pilled. I'm not red-pilled or blue-pilled. I'm clear-pilled. Yeah. I could see through the matrix.
Yeah, I guess if she...
A
neon pill. I guess if she would have like fallen more to the organized religion, it might have not gotten to the
someone would have said something at least.
Problem point.
Like, someone needs to check on that girl. Why do you have all this acetone?
Yeah. Oh. I'm surprised her nurse friend, what was her name, Joy, didn't pick up on that. Cause
I don't blame her for not picking up on her.
When you're working in like hospitals and shit, you're trained. As far as I think my friend told me he's a nurse, and I could be wrong, but I think he said he's trained to look out for stuff like that because you never know when a client tries to sneak something.
Yeah, but again, like it can be hard when it's someone you know, another nurse, and like you're seeing them outside of work.
She just reconnected.
Yeah,
and then she was like, "Oh, cool." Cool cutouts on your wall of the angels.
A thing I noticed when Katie or when Joy visits Maud in her apartment, when she's looking out the window, she has a heterochrome Maya or whatever on her eyes. One eye's brown, one eye's blue.
Yes, I did notice that.
Yeah. I don't know what the symbolism is for that.
The director was asked about that, and she said it was kind of a cool thing. Two, it was kind of to show like something like she's supposed to be like this unassuming looking lady, right? Because she's dressing up more pure and her hair's a certain way, but the eyes were going to be the thing that really stand out about her. That was it was just a fun little idea behind that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I became sad when I learned that the actress herself doesn't have that
one contact on, yeah.
Yeah.
Ed was sad. It just went boom.
I was.
Oh, man. But I'm just going to say this right now. I know we're all creatives here, but like, if you're going to make an art decision or a design choice, have a reason behind it. Because if you don't have a reason, then it's not a good choice to make.
I mean,
because I would argue the shallow. Oh, it's a duality within her. She's struggling between the light and the dark.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. But that's what I was thinking too. And like, that's the thing. Like, that's honestly one of the reasons of why you can just like put things that you think are cool without a reason, because the viewers will come up with a reason for it.
Spoken like a true dungeon master, Ed. Good job.
Yeah. And that's, I feel like that is actually like, Don't overdo it. Definitely have a reason for like 95 to 99% of things you do. But like, if you think, oh, you know, her having two different eye colors would be cool, go ahead, do it. Whatever. No one cares. And the people that do care will think you had a reason.
Play coy.
So, yeah.
Okay. So I want to loop back to what we opened with fem cells, and then we can get off the fence.
She's not a femcel. Yeah, she is.
Oh my god, the bar scene alone proves she's a femcel.
She's super lonely, but she's not. She still had sex.
You could still be.
You could be an no. The incel no, so could, much. You can be an incel and still have sex. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing, because like she's so off-putting. Like I don't know how she was in her BC before Christ. Like I'm sure she was normal before she became schizophrenic, but like
she seemed like a
she looked
girl,
insane. She looked nuts. She was like trying to like talk to people, and it's just failing spectacularly each time, and it's just super cringe. I'm like,
I thought she was just super out of practice and at a dark spot. I didn't think
no one's that out of practice to be like cackling in the background.
Oh yeah, no one's ever that friend, out of right? practice. Excuse me.
Oh, they think I'm nuts. Or like literally staring at someone from across the room, and the dude's like, "Oh, hi."
Bro, I mean, that's happened to me before, where like I just make eye contact with a girl across the room, and we kind of
you're a dude.
What?
We're bumbling like idiots.
We make eye contact and smile at each other.
I think we're all what do you call them? Giga Chads, Sigma Giga Chads.
Giga Chads.
Coming in.
Like, I know.
Oh, what's up, guys?
But like the smiling across the room and holding eye contact, not that weird, honestly.
I've only ever dated my wife, so I'm staying the fuck out of this conversation. I have no thing to contribute.
Here's
to
my reasoning why it's a femcel movie.
Yeah.
We have a female main character that's on like because like all these femcel movies, they have like and this is like it's a loose genre. It's not like super defined, but it's a vibe. And like with all these, like Promising Young Woman, Saint Maud, fucking.
I don't think Promising Young Woman's femcel though. She's legitimately. It's a revenge film.
It is a revenge flick, but like, okay. Here's the thing. It's a vibe. It's a vibe, but also like. You know how incels latch on to certain films, you know, like Taxi Driver or Joker, the reverse, femcels.
American Psycho. Although yes, we all latch on the drive, let's be real. We all latch on the drive.
That we all latch on the drive.
I drive.
But people that could be categorized as femcels latch on to certain films too and glorify certain characters that shouldn't be glorified. Just like how... certain males.
Glorifying
the wrong character. Like glorifying Joker or Kilgore from Apocalypse Now or.
Are you talking about Gone Girl? God.
Even, yeah, Gone Girl can be a femcel film too. Like.
Actually, yeah.
I'm just saying that I really like this movie.
I do too. No, I.
But she's not. This is a warning. Of not to get radicalized and also to seek mental help.
I don't think it's a femcel because the movie doesn't, because like with Joker, the reason I don't like Joker is because it doesn't.
Excuse me.
It's still,
Go ahead.
I don't, part of my issue with Joker. Okay, I'm going to criticize Joker for two different reasons. Joker, at the end of the day, the movie still does kind of, just when the lens and the little cinematic language is doing, it does kind of like, praise him and say, oh, he's just a misunderstood little boy. Oh, it's not all bad. It's not all his fault. It's society who ruined him. With this movie, it plays it off as a tragedy, and also like she is still responsible for all her bad decisions. It was all for nothing in the end. But with Joker, he led a fucking movement. So I think Joker's the incel movie. I don't think Saint Maud is the femcel movie. You can make a strong army for Gone Girl, though. Like, I don't know.
I'm not saying that this film is a femcel movie. I'm just saying that people that like those types of movies will be drawn towards this one because it is kind of like American Psycho, where you have it's not even like an anti-hero. It's just like this problematic protagonist that's mentally unstable. And we're in their head. And by the ending of the movie, there is this sense of a cathartic moment that I, the viewer, have with this character. It's like, oh, I am left with something. And then I carry that beyond, you know, when the credits are rolling and the sky and the screen turns dark. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm sitting with something. Now I need to address that feeling. The message that it's conveying to me. You know what I'm saying?
I see your point.
Oh my God. It's almost like American Psycho in a way.
It yeah. Except this one plays a lot more with tragedy, and that one's more of a what's the word? Not it gets a parody. It's kind of a not parody.
It's a satire.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little
bit of a satire. Mm-hmm. Talk about fantasy versus reality.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, like, she is fucking delusional with her fantasies. Delusions of grandeur. She thinks she's like a messenger of God. She's a saint. Mm-hmm. She sees God. She's talking to God.
Maybe it's her broken brain. This trauma filled mind trying to grasp onto something for hope that she's a saint.
Yeah. Let's get off the fence, guys. Saint Maud. Was she suffering from mental illness that led her to her death? Was she under the control of a demon? Or was she a messenger of God? Let's get definitively off the fence. Ed, I'm going to start with you.
Mental illness. There's a lot pointing to it. I don't think it's actually that.
I watch every movie I take 100% literally. Okay, she's a messenger of God.
Praise the Lord. Is that your final answer?
No, of course not. It's mental illness.
I'm going to be the dissenting voice. Damn it. She was controlled by a demon. It's an A24 horror movie. She levitated. God damn it. She was lit on fire. She was communing with some sort of presence, even though it was her own voice modulated. Damn it. I want to believe she was talking to a demon. Ari Aster was on set in the background, and he's like, yes, this is how you do it.
I think she said she found Hereditary hilarious. If really? I remember correctly. She's a fan of Ari.
She's a fan of Ari Aster.
I think in the interview I read, she said Hereditary was hilarious. So 100%, yes, 100% believe.
Wow, this is a knee slapper. Oh my god.
I don't like all of it, but she did say she found parts hilarious. I'm like, okay, yeah, she knows what's up.
Girl got her head knocked off. Oh, I couldn't stop laughing.
Still need to see that movie.
So the director of Saint Maud is crazy.
Hereditary is like a I watch it once kind of movie. I don't think I'm ever gonna rewatch that movie.
Ed says that until I say I haven't watched, and then he's like, no, we're watching it again. Fuck how I feel.
Yeah. You said you didn't watch
it. Yeah, no, he's going to make me watch it.
You know what?
Yeah, he'll tie me down. So. He'll come over to my apartment, tie me down, duct tape my eyelids open, just make me watch it again.
It's this Clockwork
not
Orange.
The
clockwork
not the first time he's done that, so.
Misery. You will watch it.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be the first. It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
Be like Jeffrey Dahmer, that meme where he has like the knife.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the meme. Yeah. Yeah, just like.
You are watching. Oh, fuck. Okay, well, I guess we have to agree to disagree.
No.
She's controlled by a demon. We'll. You guys think she was mentally ill.
No, I think she's literal. I think it's literal, and she's a messenger of God.
At the end of the day, Hector, Ed, she was battling her own demons.
Aren't we all?
Whether they were real or not, she was battling some demons. Okay, guys. Would you recommend this movie to a friend?
Yeah, actually, I would.
Depends on the friend. This is not a white audience kind of.
Don't you want to like fuck people up?
Yeah, and I've shown my I showed one of my friends Lighthouse, and he fucking hated the film.
I showed my dad Lighthouse, and he hated the film with a passion.
Why? It's so good.
It's so good. But my dad's not big into like art house. The closest art house I got to watch was in love was Parasite.
Well, that could be considered like a conventional film too.
Can you say,
it's not like I filmed this for sure. With a 200-year-old camera. I mixed the film specially for this camera. I developed it.
One of the complaints I heard recently about the Lighthouse was the aspect ratio.
Those people suck ass.
Those people do suck ass. I was just at the theater.
The aspect ratio adds to the. That's the claustrophobic.
That's the whole fucking point of the movie.
It's also like if it was filmed on an old camera. No, 100%. It's a fucking like they're wrong. Like, yeah. I don't, like, I'm usually, I'm like, oh, everyone has their point of view. There's validity. Nah, those people are fucking wrong.
I don't like the aspect ratio.
Aspect ratio in that movie was actually one of the best artistic decisions, honestly. It's
too claustrophobic.
The black and white, meh, but, you know, that's box.
Well, yeah. Your friends complained that it's too claustrophobic. Oh, that's the point of the...
No, they just didn't understand why the aspect ratio was like...
Back, it's a stylistic like a box, choice. Like,
yes.
Yes.
An artistic one.
It makes it more intimate. And it's a story about two dudes going stir crazy.
Well, one was already crazy, but yeah.
You found me lobster.
I still think that movie's all about purgatory.
You're not wrong. No, I was just at the theaters.
Did you spill your beans?
And this film that was made now had an aspect ratio, but you know, it's like a square, 4:3.
Yeah.
And the film, the curtains rolled in or it frames the picture into a square, and I'm like, fuck yeah. This is how you do it.
Fuck yeah.
This is how you do it. Yeah. So if you're complaining about aspect, you know, I wish TVs would be formatted like squares, like, you know, like a big 4K TV, but it's like a square.
No, what you do is you drill, curtains onto your right next to the TV up on the roof and then, or ceiling. And then you just do it yourself.
On the roof.
Just got to do it yourself. Just DIY it.
But yeah, I just need to get a projection, a projector. And to just do the whole theater experience for every aspect ratio, just have like it programmed with the curtains. Anyways, final question. Oh, wait, that was my final question. Okay, I'll come up with a different final question. Okay, is this film a femcel movie? Is this film a femcel movie?
With how you described it about just like, how incels are attracted to certain types
she's
of movies.
She's opting out of and sexual and romantic relationships.
I don't think so, because she doesn't with thumb cells and
I think
you could still have sex, but she's not in a relationship. She doesn't want to be in a relationship. She's in a relationship with God.
That's the reason I don't think so, because like with incel movies and fem cells, it's always like society's the problem. I'm correct. I'm right. And with her, it's more like I just want to save one person. I went too far. So that's why I don't see it as a femcel movie, because it's not the society's the problem. It's the fact that I can't connect with this one person the way I want her to.
Okay, so I was agreeing with Armand, and then you said that, and now I agree with you, Hector. It's not a femcel movie.
It's turned into a debate over here. I'm pro-femcel movie. Hector is anti-femcel movie.
Me too now. But I'm a switch, apparently.
Would you say this film is controversial?
I mean, if I showed it at a church, if like the two churches I used to go to, it'd be controversial for sure.
Oh my God. What? Oh, of course. I think, I don't think it's controversial. I think it's pretty...
pretty safe, all things considering.
Yeah, pretty safe. I mean, this seems not too far off like from a Blumhouse horror
movie.
She
really could have pulled the amazing atheist, like, oh, it's not, God's not real, it's all in your fucking head thing, like, way harder. And, like, this is what happens when you follow God kind of message, way harder. Like, pulling an anti-Alex Jones here. But, like, she didn't, so.
Yeah, I feel that it treated all the views it showed with the same amount of lens, I'd say. Respect or disrespect, whichever one you want to pick.
Also, let me look up the director's name. Let's give her some props. This was her first feature film. Rose Glass, I think.
Let's give it up for Rose Glass. Like, she knocked it out of the park.
Oh, shit! She's got a new movie with Kirsten Stewart. Yeah. They're both playing, like, female bodybuilder, her and the Love and Family female bodybuilders. Ah, oh, that one looks good. Comes out this year.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah. Fucking day one.
Oh, it is Christmas.
Can't go wrong with A24. banger after banger.
Except for the Vic.
Yeah, except that's shut up. Except it's not going to be like that anymore.
Hector just doesn't want to live deliciously. That's his cross he must bear. But
I don't know if you heard, Armand, but A24 announced that starting, I think, next year, 2025, they're going to be expanding to more blockbuster type
movies. Well, they're already doing it with Civil War.
Yeah. So it's not going to be banger after banger.
You never know.
Unfortunately, anymore. Never know. We could have
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Actually be
good. Yeah, they already tested the waters with that one, with Everything Everywhere.
With everything?
It won everything.
You have an interesting story to tell, and it's filmed stylistically. I'm down. Because ultimately, this is why we're coming to these, because they're interesting. They're original. They're interesting. It's not like Iron Man 7. Yeah. I don't think A24 is going to distribute The Marvels 2. The search for more money.
Yeah.
Doctor Doom.
Because A24, they have a studio. I know. Now.
Isn't that crazy?
Right? Because they don't just distribute anymore. No. And I think the thing is also not that they're going to, since they have a studio, I think they're going to make their own.
Their own films.
Like wide audience films. Yeah. So.
We'll see.
I'm sad, but also I'm sad that they're doing it, but I'm holding
on. Honestly,
hopefully,
like A24 is becoming very mainstream, and I sound like a dirty hipster saying it, but they are. And it's like, I mean, they're still good movies until they're not. Honestly, you know who's like putting out the bangers now? It's Neon.
Yeah,
Neon, like who? Neon,
Parasite, Portrait of a Woman on Fire. Yeah.
Wait, did they?
Yeah, I think they did Pig too. I could be wrong, but I think they did Pig. I'm still angry that I'm less a little salty that I didn't get asked to join the Pig movie. That's best movie of all time.
That was Hector's. Yeah, they.
Portrait of a Lady.
Beverly
Anatomy of a Fall, Triangle of Sadness, Parasite, I, Tonya, and those are just some of them. You know, they're getting like, you know, Brandon Cronenberg, David Cronenberg.
What's
Neon?
What's
was the name? Neon. Yeah, distributed.
Oh, Neon. That's Neon. Yeah. Neon is coming out with,
still have to see Pleasure.
Was it Titan? How do you say that French one about the woman who I think
that's Neon too?
Tatiana. Yeah.
Infinity Pool. Like, they're fucking Old Boy re release.
Ed and I saw that. That was the first time I got to see it. It was so good. Have you seen it, Armand?
The re-release? Yep.
No, not yet.
Of course he has.
Of course I have not.
You need to change
You haven't seen Old Boy?
There's a 4K Blu-ray now. Do yourself a favor. Just watch it.
I know.
Do you know anything about the movie?
No, I want to keep it that way.
Go. Watch it blind.
Good.
I will. Yeah. That's how I like my films. I went blind with Poor Things and oh boy. It was a fucking good time.
I went blind to Poor Things also.
I'm like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, you had a good time, Armand?
I had a great time. Armand?
I had a wonderful time. And it was enhanced by, Emma Stone in certain scenes.
Gross.
If I were to be a time traveler and told 16-year-old me watching Superbad back in 2007, saying like, hey, in like 20 years, you're going to see like her full frontal for like an entire fucking movie with the actor that plays the Hulk. I would have been like, huh? What?
Huh?
Yeah, I went into the film and then we could stop. I went into the film. I was like, the mad scientist to make like a lady Frankenstein. I don't know. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's more fucked up.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I had a choice between that and American Fiction. I went with American Fiction.
I think it was my number 4.
I think it was. We just recorded that episode like a few days ago.
Yeah, because it was my number 4, because then it was Oppenheimer, then
Radical. Oh, Armand, you'd love Radical.
Past Lives. Yeah,
Radical. It's from Mexico. It's really good.
Very good.
It was my number two of the year.
Unfortunately, Mexico didn't put it in to be in for like awards and such, but it should have. It's again my second favorite of the film of the year.
What's your number one?
We both have the same one. Past Lives.
Past Lives.
I have to watch that still.
Dude, I
saw Perfect kidding? Days.
Oh my god.
It's also a Japanese days. Movie.
Oh.
Perfect Days. Bro, I thought you were a cinephile. Not a cinephile, man.
I'm not cinephile enough to keep up to date with foreign
I love
films.
Keeping up with foreign I've heard of Happy of what was it Happy Days? Well, not Happy Days. Fuck,
Perfect
what's the name
Days.
Of it? Perfect Days, thank you. I've heard of
Monday,
it.
Monday, Tuesday, oh, Happy Days.
No, I just saw a trailer. I just saw a trailer for it. Nope, never mind. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Ed's
good.
Ed's the only one in our podcast who saw every single Best Picture nominee.
Oh my god.
This year.
Good yeah. for you, man.
No, of all time. Of all time. He's seen all the Best Picture nominees ever.
Nope. I still have yet to watch like a couple Best Pictures
like,
from last year.
You saw
year
all of them this year
before that.
Are you talking about yeah. since like the 1920s?
Yes. He has seen all of them.
Oh, you would vibe with my friend.
Wait, really? I was joking. Do you actually have a friend who's seen all of them?
Uh-huh. He like almost exclusively watches 1920 movies. He's like, I got one for the podcast. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll keep you in mind. We'll get to that one.
I have a request to do a movie from like the 1950s in the podcast. I'm waiting for like a few more months. Oh. I'm going to go
so,
for
so,
it.
So he's probably seen Passion of Joan of Arc.
I mean, that's pretty, yeah, that's a pretty basic one.
It's an amazing movie.
It is a good movie. It's a very influential movie. Yeah. Guys, we are off the rails. We're no longer talking about St. Maud.
Yeah.
The viewer is just like, yeah, man.
This happens. This he happens was, all the time, like with me and Hector, our podcast.
Oh, way off the rails.
Off the rails.
It's.
Does this happen normally in yours?
Yeah, I have like 4-hour podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he has. Yeah. No, I've.
Dang. It's a good time.
I feel like your Blade Runner episode is the most infamous for going off the rails.
I'll give you this is an insider for both you and everyone listening. There are plans to do another Blade Runner podcast. I was like, guys, let's do Blade Runner again. But this time, good.
Was I in the original?
No, it was in
no, you weren't. It was for...
Okay. Cause
we got high as fuck. And I sat in my podcasting chair. I'm like, oh, fuck. I have to lead this conversation right now.
No, I remember you telling me.
So, if you didn't know, and then re-listening to that, it's like, oh, yeah, we are blazed. And then, like, as the podcast goes on, we get, like, sober by the end.
No, Ed's, like, our residential Blade Runner expert.
I mean, my favorite movie of all time is 2049. And then my second is probably the original Blade Runner, so.
You look lonely. I could fix that.
What?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I love that film. I saw
you know
it
what Ed's favorite version of the movie, of the original Blade Runner is? He likes the original theatrical cut. It's his favorite.
Shut the fuck.
Like tears in rain. I didn't know what this android was saying.
I literally did what my first experience watching Blade Runner was the theatrical version.
You actually watched it?
And I'm like,
you actually watched what? Blade Runner the theatrical version?
Yes.
Where they run off
because
into the forest?
I didn't know at that point. At that point, Fight Club was my favorite movie. Like this was way, way back.
Baby first steps to being a cinephile.
Truly.
Yeah, and then I watched the theatrical version, and I remember thinking, like, why do people love this so
Fight
much?
Club?
Like, it's fine.
Or Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. And then I watched the final cut, and I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, removing the narration does so much to add to the film.
What do you think about the narration in this film? I actually dug it. It was just the right amount.
That's fine.
The narration helped.
Yeah. Because there's already, like, minimal dialogue, so you need some sort of something carrying the story along.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's fine.
And you really get into her
that's
head.
That's the whole point. It leads into
the character study.
It's not like... God, there was one movie we watched that had, like, really bad narration.
Gattaca.
Was it Gattaca?
You did not like Gattaca because there was so much narration. I remember
God. Oh, my.
You hated
God. I hate
that
movie. It was so bad. It's flipping through channels back in the day, and I saw the chase scene.
I wish I could go into your head and understand why you dislike the movie so much.
I like the concept of the film. It's just execution wasn't good.
I've been there.
Yeah, I can understand why.
I wanted a better movie.
I just don't understand why so
I'm sorry that I have
much,
standards
why you hate it
when it comes
so
to
much.
The movies I like.
I have
I'm not
going to
say it, Armand.
Too, but I like
you know
what
fuck I'm
going to
say. Armand, I remember you put like a fucking... You gave the new Mario movie like 5 stars on Letterboxd?
I did.
You have
and
no right.
I do have... It's a me. Mario. No, I have all the rights.
Watch that movie
because it was a well-made movie. It was entertaining. I was entertained.
Yeah, but you gave money to Nintendo.
No, it was on HBO when I watched it. I didn't see that shit in theaters because I avoided it because like my friend, I'm like, should I watch this? And he's like, do you have kids? I said no. He's like, you don't have to watch it then. I'm like, okay, fine.
I have a lot of.
He's like, why are you watching a kids movie?
Great.
No, I mean,
Armand, watch Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, and then tell me that kids.
I'll
movies
tell
aren't
you.
Good.
I will be unashamed. I saw Diddy Kong. I stood up and I clapped. I was like, "Oh my god!" And I pulled out my phone and gave it 5 stars right then and there. And then Chris Pratt,
I'm never gonna watch
he had
that
some sort of an accent. I mean, it wasn't like, yes, no,
he no
it
not.
Was there.
It, you weren't, Ed didn't watch the movie. He only saw the trailers. Ed, no, he does actually have a bit
Ed,
of an accent.
You didn't watch the movie.
He's not going.
I'm
he,
not going to watch
Nintendo
being a hater.
With a passion. No, he hates Nintendo with a passion for what they did to the Smash Brothers scene. We don't have to talk about that in this podcast. Let's just end it and then we can.
All right, everybody. See you next time. No, I mean, it was a good movie.
It was fine.
I went in with expectations as low as Dinosaur Bones. I was like,
"That's."
And
what
I was like, holy shit, this is
you
actually good.
Low expectations on it instead of zero.
I'm a Nintendo stan, all right? You know how you're a weeb for anime?
You just
I'm a weeb
two tiers.
For Nintendo.
You just went down 2 tiers in how much I respect you.
All right?
I'm kidding.
And then we have Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach.
Oh, that's what did it. That's what did it. Okay.
Now it all makes sense.
Did you see she had that surgery to remove the cheek fat and now she looks like a ghoul?
I'm not going to
Are you body shaming now?
Yeah.
We're resorting to body shaming.
I mean, everyone who's had that surgery now looks like a ghoul. So, the cheek fat removal,
the buccal fat removal surgery. Yeah. I don't call it.
Yeah.
It's so bad out there in Hollywood. There is so much peer pressure to do this shit. I am like,
yeah, I know, and it's the thing is that you
say,
don't get
no,
it
don't.
Back.
She looks good now.
She looked better before.
Yes. But she looks good again. There was a period where I'm like, this is getting a little tough. But now we're fine again.
You know, I haven't seen a recent, like, picture of her. So,
well, the picture of Furiosa is coming out. I'm really looking forward to that picture.
Oh yeah, Furiosa looks fun.
Oh yeah. Okay. You know. Okay. She looks fine in Furiosa. Yeah.
Fuck man. Fuck man.
I just want more George Miller movies. I'm down.
Also, Tom Hardy and George Miller said that they're gonna make another Mad Max.
Fuck yeah.
Like not a spin-off, another Mad Max.
That's how you do it. Comes out of retirement. Yeah. He's like 80 years old. He's like, I'll show you how to make an action movie.
Wait, did he get the rights back to Mad Max? I thought he lost them. That's why the sequel's ticket.
I don't know. I read that somewhere. Yeah,
we got this covered.com. Clickhole.com. Guys, we went on for like 90 minutes. This has been a good time.
It's been fun.
I'm glad I subjected you to St. Maude.
Not the wildest time. Thing I've done for a pod. We watched for a podcast.
Do I have
you friended on
Letterboxd? I don't know. I think so. I know the reshoot people are on there, but yeah. Yeah, you can judge me for my hot takes.
Dude, you can judge me for Napoleon. My hot takes. Are you kidding me?
My review is going to be Duke of Wellington spawn camps like a bitch.
Ruthie wants to see it. I
wait for the 4-hour cut. Yeah, really, Scott's putting out a 4-hour cut. Oh. In theaters, it was 2.5, and I felt it was too short. And apparently, there's historical inaccuracies. I don't give a shit. It was a good movie. I was entertained.
Wait, I actually have not rated Dune on my Letterboxd.
We're stopping now before he goes on about Dune. That's a whole
All right, guys. It's been real. I'm so glad that you two have been on here. We'll do something with Denis Villeneuve. I don't know. He's a good man.
Yeah, you're like 2049.
I mean, you know how much I love 2049. I watched it. IMAX front row. I was like, oh my God.
Front center.
It's the best movie ever made.
I think I only saw 2049 once in theaters, honestly.
Was it IMAX?
Oh, okay. It was IMAX, yes.
Okay.
I watched it at his place.
Oh, he saw the inferior.
Yeah. I've only seen it.
You know, I wouldn't buy an Apple Vision Pro, but the only reason I would is so I could one day recreate IMAX in my home. To this day, I look forward to watching the IMAX version of The Force Awakens. I saw it in theaters. I drove 3 hours to see it in 70mm IMAX. And oh my God, it was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
To this day, there's no release of the IMAX version anywhere. Not even on Disney Plus. And I'm like, I'm waiting. I remember it vividly in my brain. The whole fucking screen was filled with IMAX.
I saw Nope on IMAX. Yeah. Ruthie and I saw it on IMAX. And Jesus, that was incredible.
I wish there was a 70mm IMAX near where we live. But there is not.
Bro, I would have watched there's like 7 in California.
Yeah, that's like 14-hour drive.
Bro, it's a plane, bro. Be like Taylor Swift, take a plane. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. It's been real. It's been too long. Ed, Hector, gotta get Ruthie. Gotta get the whole reshoot clan.
That'd be fun.
And do something crazy.
Thank you for having us. Please invite me for the 101.
I'll do something special for you, Ed. I got something up my sleeve. Since you're Denis Villeneuve. Okay. Head. But yeah, until next time. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great. Stop that scroll. Spend more time watching. Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.